deploy our products didn't follow good security policy or practices, says Young. We have to do more proactive education for customers about security. Young says his company sells a cloud service that can give its products a private secured connection away from the public internet. However, he also said that Digi would continue to ship products with default passwords because it made initial setup smoother, and that makes customers more likely to set their own passwords. I haven't found a better way, he says. Billy Rios, a security researcher who works on industrial control systems at security startup company Silence, says Moore's project provides valuable numbers to quantify the scale of a problem that is well known to experts like himself, but underappreciated by companies at risk. Rios says that in his experience, systems used by more critical facilities such as energy infrastructure are just as likely to be vulnerable to attack as those used for jobs such as controlling doors in a small office. They are using the same systems, he says. Removing serial servers from the public internet so that they are accessed through a private connection could prevent many of the easiest attacks, says Rios, but attackers could still use various techniques to steal the necessary credentials. The new work adds to other significant findings from Moore's unusual hobby. Results he published in January showed that around 50 million printers, games consoles, routers, and networked storage drives are connected to the internet and easily compromised due to known flaws in a protocol called Universal Plug and Play, UPnP. This protocol allows computers to automatically find printers, but is also built into some security devices, broadband routers, and data storage systems, and could be putting valuable data at risk. Data collected by Moore's survey has also helped Rapid7 colleagues identify how a piece of software called FinFisher was used by law enforcement and intelligence agencies to spy on political activists. It also helped unmask the control structure for a long-running campaign called Red October that infiltrated many government systems in Europe. Moore believes the security industry is overlooking some rather serious and basic security problems by focusing mostly on the computers used by company employees. It became obvious to me that we've got some much bigger issues, says Moore. There are some fundamental problems with how we use the internet today. He wants to get more people working to patch up the back doors that are putting companies at risk. However, Moore has no plans to probe the entire internet again. Large power and internet bills, and incidents such as the Chinese government's computer emergency response team asking U.S. authorities to stop Moore hacking all their things, have convinced him it's time to find a new hobby. However, with plenty of data left to analyze, there will likely be more to reveal about the true state of online security, says Moore. We're sitting on mountains of new vulnerabilities. Next, Jessica Lieber writes about how, treading carefully, Google encourages developers to hack Glass. Google has set plenty of restrictions on the functionality of apps for Glass, the head-mounted display it is now shipping out to early adopters. At the company's annual developer conference, I/O, it will show app creators how to break those rules. One conference session will be called Voiding Your Warranty, Hacking Glass. But it could be controversial to encourage experimentation with a product that at once has wowed people with its possibilities and spurred uneasy imaginings of a society subject to ubiquitous user-generated surveillance. Google clearly wants developers to help explore the limits of what Glass can do, and yet Glass is not even on the market yet, and a handful of bars and cafes have already banned the hardware. Google really, really loves this project, but they are terrified, says Chris Mattern, among a limited number of software developers who got to buy a $1,500 model through Google's Explorers program. There are so many things that can go wrong between now and when it's in consumers' hands. In this context, Mattern says, he understands Google's relatively restrictive API, the gateway through which developers' web-based apps or glassware can interact with Glass's modified Android operating system, restrictions that have, at least officially, put on hold what he sees as almost every really cool application for wearable computing. For example, the API doesn't allow developers to analyze a person's location, videos, or photos in real time, so no apps that